Somewhere in the dark and nasty regions where nobody goes, stands an ancient castle. Deep within this dank and uninviting place lives...
From FC United of Manchester Radio, Swampy.
Hello.
Overworked servant of the thing upstairs.
Feed me.
But that's nothing compared to the horrors that lurk beneath the trapdoor. For there is always something down there, in the dark, waiting to come out.
Don't you open that trap door?
You're a fool if you dare.
Stay away from that trap door.
Cause there's something down there.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to this week's Red Rebel Radio, the most pointless half an hour of football banterish chit-chat that we could possibly provide to you, dear FC United supporters, for this No United weekend. And joining me on the other end of the phone, it's Mr. Pointless himself, it's Swampy. Hello, Swampy, how are you? That's a bad intro.
Well, good afternoon to you, Benjamin, and good afternoon to all our pointless listeners.
Oh, shall we break the news? Let's break the news to everyone. If you don't already know, FC United against Chester, it's off. It's off. So if you're listening to this on your way to Chester, turn back. Turn back. Or if you're on the train, get off the train and get the train back. It's not happening. What's your thoughts, Swamper?
On the fixture that is not going to happen?
Yes.
Well,
how do you think we're going to get on?
Well, if you go to Chester, I mean, I know poor Helen Murphy, she's booked her flights from the Midlands, and a weekend awaits her in the delightful parts of the UK, England, and probably she'll probably spend a bit of time in North Wales as well. It's one of those things, isn't it? It's not a lot you can do about it. In a certain way, it might be helpful to Tom and the boys. In another way, with the win on Tuesday, then perhaps it's something that you'd like to go into a game and perhaps, you know, continue winning ways. That said, we know Blyth absolutely battered, and I mean battered, Chester on Saturday by 8-1. It could have been so much more, and normally you get retribution after games like that. And I think we're quite lucky in a way because Kidderminster are going to be the team that next host Chester, and that perhaps is a game where Chester can maybe get out of their system the dreadful performance that they had. So in that respect, it's probably quite a good thing for FC.
I don't think it'd be interesting to know when Chester have next got a home game, because it does look pretty bad, doesn't it? The damage that's happened there.
It's water damage. It's you know, the PA system and the control area has all been underwater, and obviously, you know, from a health and safety perspective, you can't have a game of football. Obviously, with FC United coming to Chester, there would have been probably about 500 to 800 supporters probably making their way over to Chester. So there's nothing they can do. I would expect them to be ready for their next encounter. I would suggest they can't be having games cancelled every week for the next 2 or 3 weeks, really. So I'm sure they're doing all they can to get them back on track so they can get a game coming thick and fast. And as I say, I would have thought perhaps the Kidderminster game is the one that they'll be looking to rectify their on the pitch failings. If I was a evangelical US senator, perhaps I would have blamed the weather on their poor performance. And, it's only right that their ground was basically hit by God, the lightning strikes and the thunder and the rain coming down. It was all part of God's plan. That's what normally they say, isn't it? So I'm sure no Chester fan actually thinks that way. Neither do I, really, but just thought I'd throw a little bit of US politics in there at the opening part of the show.
Yeah, thoughts and prayers. Thoughts and prayers. Anyway, to help Helen out, because Helen, I'm assuming, is going to go to Chester anyway. You might as well go. I've been on TripAdvisor, and there's a few things that's really good at Chester. The most famous of which is obviously the zoo, Chester Zoo.
Boo! Boo to the zoo! Sorry. But zoos, it's yeah, Flamingo sorry. Land 1 week for you, Ben. It's Chester Zoo the next. Although, I have to say, in fairness to Chester, they do a lot of conservation work as well. The zoos, for the benefit of the baying public, and for
Helen,
me is a long outdated a long outdated mode of entertainment, really. The what you don't want to watch animals pouncing backwards and forwards in a small cage, do you? But Chester Zoo themselves do a huge amount of conservation work now, and they've changed very much over the years, so can't be too critical. But I'm sure there's more to do than just going to the zoo.
Oh, there is, Swampy. Just to add to the flavour of things that Swampy doesn't like, you could also go to Chester Cathedral.
Oh, well, I mean, well, you know, from the outside, I'm sure it's very nice. I can't go in, obviously, I'd burn. However, with the current statement of affairs in the world of the church at this moment in time, I'd be steering very, very well clear of them all.
It's the Anglican Church, to be fair.
I think they're all much of a wondrous. Okay. But I'm surprised you didn't say Chester Races. In fairness, Ben,
I'm getting there. What's your views on the Romans, Swampy? Happy with the Romans?
The Romans. I prefer the Britons and the Druids. In fairness, however, the Romans did bring quite a number. There's no point in going down that Monty Python route. What the Romans done for us? But
aqueducts. They also brought the wall around Chester. So Helen, if you're going to Chester this weekend, not to watch the football, walk round the wall. It's a big walk, but it's a big wall. So, yay.
It is a wall. I mean, I'm surprised Mr. Trump hasn't been down there to have a look at it to see if it actually keeps people in. But I did find something quite humorous about this whole idea of a wall, Ben. Now, you mentioned walls. I wasn't going to bring it up, but you mentioned walls. Obviously, Donald Trump wants to build this huge wall around Mexico to stop people coming
not
in.
Around, do you know? Not around Mexico, just the bit.
Well, if he could.
If he could.
No, if
would.
He could.
Yeah.
If he could, he would. But no, just obviously on the border there. But do you know, you don't need a visa to fly from Mexico to Canada?
Why? Oh, because they're in NAFTA.
They don't need to. So you can actually, as a Mexican, you can fly from Mexico over to Canada and come in on that side of the wall that isn't there yet. So I mean, that's quite interesting to me. I mean, you'd look at the fact that, you know, Trump's building one.
That sounds ominous. They're going to build a wall between Canada and America as well. You said the word "yet" there.
It could be anything else about Chester, Ben?
Oh, what about the Eastgate clock, Swampy? The famous Eastgate clock. It's there. You can actually kill two birds with one stone with this, Helen. You could go round the wall and see the Eastgate clock there because it's over the wall and it's a lovely clock. Lovely.
You could do it. It's amazing. This show is dedicated to one person because I've got stuff for her a little later on as well. And it's also interesting, Ben, that you've just done a list, haven't you? Primarily.
I've been on TripAdvisor. I've got loads.
Oh, yeah, but let's leave it to five because, believe it or not, my theme today is based on fives. I've got lists of five things from certain things I'm going to be discussing with you today, which is, again, people think that we throw this show together, and we actually do, but we've worked with each other for such a length of time. What a strange wavelength, aren't we? Because I've got FC's top five players of the season so far. Okay. I've got the top five in the league.
Okay. Yeah. I'll finish this off then with the fifth, and that's the two-hour Iron Bridge cruise, where you can go down the River Dee or up the River Dee. I don't know which direction it goes in, but it's a lovely boat ride, Helen, and it really is lovely. And if you don't want to go on the River Dee for that long, you can go on one of the rowing boats that they've got, or the pedalos. They're lovely too.
They are better. I suppose if you are doing a river cruise and it's 2 hours, it's probably both ways, isn't it? You're going to go up the Dee and down the Dee.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, they could do that, yeah. Yeah. Or maybe they just drop you off at the end.
Well, you can do that, can't you? I mean, there are many attractions that do drop you off at the end and then say, right, now find your way home. And that's going to be interesting, I suppose.
And finally, just to add as well, why not go to one of the several independent bars that are around Chester, Helen, where you can you might bump into a cast member from the award-winning series Hollyoaks. That's me done. And Chester Tourist Board, you're welcome.
Talking of that, Ben, a certain radio commentator from FC United of Manchester used to be in Hollyoaks.
Stato Paul? Really?
Yes. Did he not know?
I had no idea. I
newspaper stand seller.
He obviously knew Roy Sill was in Brookside, but I had no idea Stato Paul was in Hollyoaks. Anyway.
There you go.
So let's bring this back to FC. We've got a win on the board, finally. A very good win as well against Altrincham. I'm assuming you only caught the highlights because you said you wouldn't listen into the commentary. So what did you make of it, Swampy, from afar?
I think from an FC perspective, that performance on Saturday was abject, was probably one of the worst performances from an FC team previous to the previous performance from an FC team, and before that, previous to the first game of the season from an FC team. And it wasn't boding well. You and I both spoke on air and off air at length with Tom, very despondent, very annoyed, very upset, but also a determination to put things right. They went to a 4-3-3. They made a number of changes. They brought back Scott Kay, who, without any pre-season trading, fitted and slotted in particularly well, and perhaps was man of the match on the night. And I've got to say, he's a player because the way he plays, I suppose, he's very slim anyway. So the fitness side of things, obviously, are something that he always keeps himself trim. And a fantastic result, the first 20 minutes going to FC, the better of the two teams, both the management and the radio team at Altrincham suggested so, and then a foothold in the game really for the home team, who have been magnificent this season so far. You know, we're a 4-4 draw against Spennymoor, similar to what FC produced over the Christmas and New Year period last season, and a home victory as well going into this game with lots and lots of confidence. And to go 1-0 down, it was a question of whether or not we could, as a footballing team, get back in, and we did. And it was a good header. It was a free header, in fairness. I mean, the defensive back four from an Altrincham perspective was poor, but Dickinson, he's good in the air. He got up well and he headed it. He didn't use his hands. He actually just, you know, was up there, and it was a good directional header, and it deserved, to a degree, equaliser. And then the winner. Well, what a goal. I mean, it all started from a corner from... you and I have talked about, you know, teams not defending corners and not getting back in quick enough. And, well, FC United, they defended the corner well. The ball fell to O'Halloran, and the ball played up to Willoughby. And a great goal by Willoughby. But what I've got to say is what O'Halloran did, he continued that movement and movement and movement. And there was an option to play out left-hand side to O'Halloran, was in a great shooting position because he made so many strides, which put off the defence. So the defence wasn't quite sure whether to go with Willoughby or with O'Halloran. So they did neither. And then it set nicely for Willoughby. And he tucked it away beautifully, right-footed to the top left-hand side of the goalkeeper. No chance for the goalkeeper. And a wonderful, wonderful goal. And then we held on well. You know, it wasn't all backs to the wall. I know we played a very narrow game, not a huge amount of width. But I've got to say, O'Halloran, that particular move from him, together with Willoughby, and for me, it was the fact that he continued his run. And that's what you want to see. The quality player, but I know I listened to him in his post-match with you guys, but that particular bit of movement, I think, shows the quality and the professionalism of the player, and it gave us great confidence and a great, great victory, you know, and we can move on from that, hopefully.
And out the relegation zone at time of recording. Obviously, we're going to go back into it, maybe. Are you surprised with Southport? They're now rock bottom of the league, played 4, lost 4, conceded 9, only scored 1. It's not been the best of starts, has it?
No. I know at half time, the second half of the midweek, of the weekend's game, that virtually none of the bench, including the management team, were actually out. I've listened to what Liam Watson has had to say after the game, and he's absolutely, his words, not mine, he's disgusted with players. He said half of these players shouldn't be here. He tried to get rid of them in the summer. They're all on. Half of them are on wages that are far too much worth the penny, the money that they're on. And they can't get rid of them to other clubs because of that reason, and equally because they're not good enough. He's even questioned a couple of his own signings, saying, well, should I have done that? Should I have brought them in? Are they producing? But he said after that 4-0 drumming by Chorley that it was something that needed to happen, because now everyone can see warts and all. He was absolutely despondent and just believes that, you know, the club have made the players feel very welcome, give them a professional club to be involved in, give them all the benefits, but unfortunately the players don't seem to be doing anything for them at all. Even the captain, he's had 300 league games under his belt, getting sent off at 4-0 down, frustrated with the way things are going, letting himself down, letting the team down and his players down. They're just a team that aren't functioning. I can see one or two things, a mass clear out if they can manage to do that. But as Liam said himself, he's finding it virtually impossible to palm off a lot of these players. Interesting to note, I know that's Lowe's back at Southport as well. So the two ex-FC is him and Gilchrist are at FC. And yeah, we don't forget Lowe's at the end of the season. on loan at Spennymoor, who FC play in a couple of weeks' time. But he's back at Southport, who do indeed FC play in 3 or 4 weeks' time as well. But yeah, it's interesting that there's a lot. There's a lot going on, isn't there, at Southport?
There is.
Yeah, I mean, Liam Watson was there in 2003. Don't forget. So I mean, and he said himself in his interview that you know, it feels very similar to being back to that position, that time then, and it wasn't the greatest time then for him either. You know, he's a good manager. Can he turn it around? I mean, the four games in, there's no points. It's a very long season. However, you know, we've already seen Lee Hodges at Truro leave after two games because Truro are having to play their games going from Cornwall all the way up to Torquay. A lot of problems down at Truro, unfortunately. So managers come thick and fast. It wouldn't surprise me if Liam, in fairness, if he can't get what he wants or needs in the next couple of games, it won't surprise me if he leaves the football club as well, and then they will be in free fall.
Blimey. The complete opposite of Southport at the moment is Charlie. And isn't it weird what happens at Charlie? The manager who, you know, they've had for a while, he steps to one side, and then a new manager comes in and they go up again. We saw that with Flitcroft leaving and Janssen coming in. And now we're seeing it with, let me get his name right, because it's very difficult to pronounce. And now we're seeing it with Jamie Vermiglio. Did I nail that?
Absolutely bang on. Yay! Bang on. Bang on, Ben. Yeah, bang Thanks. On if you can't pronounce his name in any way, shape or form, and you're from North Manchester. Well, and if you're from Salford. Listen, what they've done is they've stuck to the formula. They've brought in a couple of decent players. They've strengthened and they play in a formula where when they need to get rid of the ball, they play the ball out. They play ball with purpose. When they get to play football, they can play football. They're a complete team. It's no surprise where they are as far as I'm concerned. They've had two excellent seasons. When they come up against FC United and Manchester last season, they were decent. The season before, they were decent. We always have good battles against them. However, it's not the teams that it's not the game against us that makes them win or puts them where they are. It's the week in, week out, the way they play. They protect the ball well. They hold the ball well. They've got a lot of energy in the midfield. They've got a centre half that very much like Dave Chadwick will go through a brick wall for you. They're an all-round complete team, and it's no surprise really that Chorley have continued where they were last season, and this time you know four games, 12 points, fantastically well. And that gives me an opportunity to give you my, you know, talk about lists. Well, Chorley top spot, 12 points. Hereford newly promoted, 10 points. Boston, who FC United were got a good drumming by the other day, on 9 points. BPA, again, a team who did tremendously well last season, on 9 points. And AFC Telford, yeah, a team, again, who have done very well the early part of the season, in 5th spot on 8 points. So, you know, those teams at the moment, they're out of you know, the quality that they're showing in the early part of the season. But it's a very, very long season. But there's a couple in there that I wouldn't be surprised if they're there right at the end of the season as well. I won't mention who they are because it's not fair to do so. But there's a few there that I think will really be up there.
Hereford, this weekend, it's Charlie against Hereford. I was tempted by that, actually. I thought, should I go all the way up to Charlie? And then I thought, no, I won't.
Well, Ben, you're not allowed in the town centre. You're not allowed in the town centre, are you? Because, you know, you're one of those footballing... You saw the letter, didn't you, that Chorley have sent to football clubs about basically... Because it's a bit of a hub. A lot of people get off there, don't they, to go to games. And there's a letter that's been sent out to certain to football clubs and football people in general, football supporters. So sort of like saying, basically, you're probably bringing a lot of money to our local economy, but you're not welcome. Bugger off.
Oh, really? That's a bit harsh.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there's a full letter. It explains it fully. But I think in layperson's terms, it's basically, if you want to come, have a cup of coffee and sod off, opposed to if there's 200 people in a bar and there's 200 people in the bar, let's say there's two or three, let's say there's 1,000 people in Chorley all enjoying a drink, you're not welcome. And we don't want you spending any money. Oh. So it's an interesting one. But that'd be a really good game, Chorley-Hereford. It'd be an excellent game.
I was going to go to it, but then I thought, no, I don't want to share a bar with a big giant bull. So I thought better of it.
Ben, I'm going to a game. I'm going to a game this weekend.
Are you really?
I am. I'm going to a Bostic League game in the South Central Division.
Are you?
I am indeed, yes. I'm going to see Hayes and Yedding. Oh. I'm going to see Hayes and Yedding versus Egham Town.
Oh, okay. And
Oh, yes.
And is this all part of the non-league show? Is that where you're going? Or...
It's between you and me, Ben, but don't say a great deal. I'm going to stay with the parents in laws. You've got to get out as quick as you can. Once you're in there, you can't get out.
You do so, know. How long have you worked in radio? You do know how this works, don't you? It's not like a chit chat between me and you. There's at least 100 people listening to this.
No, Ben, this bit's private, just between you and me. You know, that's it. No one else needs to know that.
Genuinely, do you want me to edit it out?
Like I've actually sat here in a pair of underpants. That's all. And a vest, Farrah underpants, wife runs, and a white vest, drinking a can of Vimto.
Okay, I've lost the plot here completely. That's all going in, just so you know. Right, just to add your top five players of FC United this season thus far. I don't know whether this is serious or not, but over to you, Swamper.
Well, the top five players, Billy, in no particular order, Billy Crillin, Kurt Willoughby, Sam Tatum, and Sam Baird. And I've got to say, I mean, Harry Winter would be in there, but he's in my top five injured players now. and I'm gonna throw straight in there Scott Kay.
Oh, right, okay.
That performance was a calming influence on the team, and you know, he did his job, never gave the ball away pretty much all through the game, and therefore I think he's got to go straight in there. And that says a lot, doesn't it, really, when you're coming for one game. I know it's only the fourth game in, but a lot of the players have been, by their own admission, by their own standards, very, very poor so far this season. And you know, if Scott can come in after one game, be part of a team that wins 2-1, you've got to say he deserves to be in that top five so far. But you know, and I know from Harry Winter would be in there, but unfortunately now injured. And I couldn't find a fifth player. I mean, you might be able to help me, Ben. I've got Logan injured. I've got Harry Winter. I've got Brad Barnes. I've got Alisson. Is anyone else
Palmer
actually injured? I can have. Is Palmer definitely injured? Oh,
Palmer's
fantastic.
Injured. Yeah.
Oh,
there
that's brilliant.
Happy to help.
Oh, I'm so happy now. So I've got my top five injured players and my top five top players. That's fantastic. Looking forward to hopefully that's changing and we can get these players back and fit. Which, in a way, Ben, is good because I've got eight days preparation, haven't we now, between our game and the Leamington game.
I was going to say there's a couple of matches. I told you we were going to Charlie, but then I thought, you know what, I'm going to go to Warrington against Fars Celtic. I'm going to sample some MPL stuff. And then Luke Edwards from the National League podcast got in touch and said, oh, do you want to come over to Hyde v South Shields? Yeah. Oh, you know, it's tough. It's tough when your team's not in action because there's all these great games that take place all over the place.
Is that the first game of the season?
Yeah.
Hyde versus South Shields?
Yeah. It's a great game, that, to kick the Northern Premier League off, isn't
it?
Oh,
absolutely fantastic. I thought for some reason I had them down playing Basford.
No, Basford are playing Nantwich away. That's a memory.
Oh, right.
Memory right there. One thing is for sure, though, on Tuesday evening, here on FC Radio, we're going to be covering Stalybridge Celtic against Marine. Myself and Roy Sewell are doing the commentary here on FC Radio. So it's the first MPL Live of the season.
Can't be bad, Ben.
So join us for that one. But just before we go, an event popped up this past day or two, which we posted on our Facebook page, and the club are about to post an article on it about as well, and that's Soul Against Racism, Swampy. It's a cracking night, this seems, on when is it? On Saturday, the 22nd of September, 6:30 p.m. till late. It's only £6 on the door, and loads of DJs there, and it's great stuff, this, at Broadhurst Park.
It is absolutely fantastic, but I think it's absolutely bloody ridiculous. Soul Against Racism. I mean, anyone that likes soul music, northern soul music, funk, anything like that, that is a racist, give your head a wobble. How can you like? If I was a racist, I wouldn't eat curry. I would basically just eat sausages, British handmade sausages every single day,
fish
and British
chips,
food only.
Fish and chips,
no,
bland.
No fish, because you don't know which part of the sea they've come from.
Good point.
You know, if the French fish or Spanish fish or you know the Scottish fish, I'm not eating that. So, not eating that. I just find it absolutely incredible that anyone, you have to have an anti-racist soul night to try and stop those that might be slightly racist coming. I mean, it's soul and funk. It's, you know, it's northern. I mean, it's all based on black music. And we shouldn't have to have these things. We shouldn't have to have, you know, soul racism against soul against racism. It should be just a soul night. Everyone should be coming. But, yeah, it's absolutely nonsense. But a great thing FC are doing, don't get me wrong. I was just being a little bit facetious there. But anyway, Ben, that takes me to be five top fascists at FC.
Let's move on.
In no particular order. Oh, is it that time? No.
Let's move on. Right.
Talking of that up, I've been watching a programme. It's 2 years old now, right?
Yeah.
And it's about Victorian Britain.
Yeah.
Victorian Britain. And there's five celebrities on BBC Two during the afternoon. And they do Victorian things, basically treated like horse manure and fodder. Anne Widdecombe is one of them. She led a workers' revolt yesterday. A fair pay for a fair day's work. And it was pointed out to her, you are a Tory minister, you know, or an ex-Tory minister. She said, yes, but in them days, I would have been a member of the Labour Party.
No, you wouldn't.
I was like, what? So basically, because she was told what to do, she didn't like it, she would have joined the Labour Party to try and get all workers' rights. And then she would have been one of those horrible people that actually trod all over. But anyway, that was quite interesting. And is there anything else?
Sam Baird. Oh, Sam Baird. What about Sam Baird?
You go on to the old put FC United in on the old interweb on Google and all that kind of stuff,
yeah.
And it'll come down. It'll say FC United, and then it'll go Wikipedia, and then it'll show you pictures of players. Well, Sam Baird's picture is of the snooker player Sam Baird, who's from a place called Ufclun. So Ufclun is Sam Baird, the snooker player. He's 30 years of age. He's a top-ranking professional. You know, he's done very well for himself. But that's the picture we've got of our young Sam Baird. It's interesting. But I just thought I'd point that out when I was looking at pictures of our players. I'd like to do that, you know, through the week. In my vest and in my Farah underpants, having a look at the pictures of the players.
What a way to end the show. Swampy, just before we go, your song of the week, please.
Well, Ben, I have five in no particular order.
Just one. Yes, I know.
But what I want to do is I want to make sure that the listeners can go away and have a listen to these songs. And next week, I would like some correspondence back on these songs, any in particular, and see what you think of them. In no particular, I want you to have a listen to Take the Skinheads Bowling. That's Take the Skinheads Bowling by a band called Camper Van Beethoven. There's a song by a band from the early 90s, Dodgy.
I remember Dodgy. Going out for the summer, that one.
Yeah, never a great fan of theirs, but they've got a track called Grassman. It's absolutely epic. Because it's a week where this band are looking like they're actually reforming to produce a new album, you've got to have a listen to Touch Me, I'm Sick by Mudhoney. And then finally... is a great artist from Liverpool. He's got a couple of albums out. He's called John Smith, and the track's called There Is a Stone. The song of choice this week is by a wonderful band from the 90s and the noughties, and they've been an eclectic band producing great, great music for many, many years.
The Stereophonics.
It's the B-52s.
Oh, B-52s.
The B-52s, and the track is Give Me Back My Man. A wonderful track. I put it on Facebook about a month and a half ago. A lot of FCers liked it, but those are the radio variety. Have a listen to that. You're going to love that. So all I can say, Ben, is have a very good weekend. Enjoy your football.
Have a good week.
Take care.
is FCUM Radio, where fluorescent coloured football boots are completely unacceptable.